This is a story about shepherding. I was born in Dallas at Florence Nightingale Hospital, which doesn't exist anymore. It's now called Baylor. My parents were Rocky and Helen Johnson. They had three boys and one girl. We were raised in the Methodist Church, which in those days meant going to Sunday school and church. We didn't really talk about God other than thanking him at the dinner table. When I was a teenager, I went with a friend to a revival at her church. God began to shepherd me that night as I accepted Jesus into my heart and into my life. Psalm 79:13 says, "Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will thank you forever and ever, praising your greatness from generation to generation." Since I had not heard the salvation promise until that night, these are the verses in the book of Romans, beginning with Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The second scripture on the Romans road is Romans 6:23, which teaches us about the consequences of sin. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The third verse is Romans 5:8. "God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The next scripture is Romans 10:9. "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." The results of salvation are in Romans 5:1-2. "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory." My dad made me go to college. I didn't want to go. I thought I knew better ways to prepare for life as an adult. And thankfully, the Lord came with me to college. I'm not sure I would have made it without him. I got married to Hal after college and had my beautiful daughter, Megan, who has been a Watermark member for 10 years. I didn't need a shepherd in those days because I thought I could do everything my way and without any guidance or support. I'm not sure where I got this idea, but I'm pretty sure I thought God was finished with me and he had more serious pastures to shepherd and I was good to go. Sadly, my first marriage ended in divorce. We began what Megan referred to as our single days. I was working full-time and in my late 30s, dating or finding someone else to share my life with seemed like a daunting task. As the months wore on, I began to realize that Megan and I both needed a shepherd. As it says in Psalm 103, "Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." I hadn't found a church home for us yet, but I began praying daily for the strength and guidance to raise a child on my own. Fortunately, my best friend from college days stepped in and became my lifelong spiritual supporter and remains so today. Several years later, my cousin introduced me to his best friend, Bob, and we got married in 1991 on Valentine's Day. He had one son, and while we didn't raise our two children in the same household, we worked hard to include both in family outings and vacations. After 1 year, we were transferred to Seattle, Washington for jobs there. We loved the Pacific Northwest with all its mountains, ocean, and climate. Within a few months, Bob experienced what I thought was a major heart attack, rushed to the hospital, and continued to have grand mal seizures. He was diagnosed with a brain tumor at the age of 42. The scripture I claimed in those early days was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. The doctors took his tumor out and discovered that it was benign. Our newly married life resumed with just some minor medications and quarterly examinations. We felt our life was just beginning. Prayer and gratitude became our daily practice. His second brain tumor grew back 8 years later. And this time, unfortunately, it was malignant. By this time, we were back in Dallas, where we had the support of his family and the doctors and specialists at UT Southwestern Medical. We were told that it was an aggressive, fast-growing tumor, and Bob made the decision to go on an experimental drug trial with constant monitoring. Sadly, after many months of sickness and the beginnings of organ failures, Bob went to be with the Lord in April 2002. He was 50 years old and I was 48. Throughout this time, leading up to and after his death, I felt God's daily presence in my life, which was such a comfort as I went about the days of now living as a widow. Lamentations 3:31 through 33 says this: For no one is abandoned by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he also shows compassion because of the greatness of his unfailing love. For he does not enjoy hurting people or causing them sorrow. Bob and I were well connected at a great Methodist church in the Dallas area where I found out about Grief Share. It was a bit different from this program, but still very helpful. It was 12 weeks, which began in September and went through December. I was still working full time and now taking care of my house, my yard, and we also had a pool. So taking a class at night, in addition to everything else, seemed like a chore. I totally understand the effort involved in both showing up for this group and in doing the necessary work. The pivotal shift for me was an exercise we were asked to do, which was to write a letter to God thanking him for the person we lost and what they meant to us. Secondly, we were asked to write a letter to the person you lost explaining everything they meant to you. While this was very difficult, and I remember it took a while to write, I also felt such an acceptance of what had happened and an overwhelming feeling that Bob's days were truly numbered, just as God had planned. It might be helpful to hear just an excerpt from the letter I wrote to God. I don't even know how to begin to thank you for my husband, Bob. I thank you first for bringing us together 11 years ago. Thank you for using him to strengthen my faith in you. Thanks to Bob, I now understand and cherish how precious and wonderful marriage can be when you are so much in love with the other person. Thank you for allowing him to show me in subtle ways that he truly was the head of our house. I always thought I wanted to be the head of the house. But after living with him for so many years, I can see that he was much better at it and took it very seriously. Thank you for all the wonderful times we spent together, both in Washington and in Texas. I think about him so often, and I know he is with you, Lord, and I know he's happier and healthier than he ever was when he was here. He loved his children and his family and you so much and made all a part of his life. It was always far more important to him than any job he ever had. I'm very thankful for the Grief Share ministry here at Watermark, and I'm doubly thankful that I get to share in this ministry and help shepherd you along your path.